All right. Yet again, we are. I got. Yep, we got you, Ronnie. Okay. Once again, we are, for the second consecutive week, we are joined by Rodney Childers, who doesn't have to prepare for a race the next day, which is nice. He can enjoy the evening. Ronnie, we have a number of questions already in the queue, so we'll get right to them. And we'll start off with Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Rodney. A couple questions. First, your decision to pit Kevin right before the competition caution, was that your plan from the get-go, and how did it dictate your strategy for the rest of the race?
Yeah, last night I was sleeping really good, and at 3:02 I woke up and my brain said we're going to pit a lap before the competition caution comes out. And I went to the restroom, and then I got my computer out and I worked for an hour and a half. And about 6 o'clock I decided to turn my computer back off and go back to sleep for about an hour. But something woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me that I needed to pit on lap 11 and try to get control of the race early.
And second question, we all heard you and Kevin reiterated that, warning him late in the race that the 11 was cording their tires and to push him hard. How was your situation? How did you feel your guys' tires and situation was during the race?
Yeah, our tires did pretty good. We never had any issues with ours, you know, thankfully. You know, you never know coming to some of these places. You got a different tire and a green racetrack. But we knew going into it, we tried to play it pretty safe. We had backed our stuff down a little bit and just, you know, thinking that it was going to be worse. But, you know, anytime you back that stuff down, it hurts the front turn at the same time. And, you know, there was times during the race that they had a little bit better front turn than us. So, you know, it just depends on how the situation plays out at the end of the race, which way is going to be better. And it just so happened that it, you know, we were out there a long time on tires there at the end, and having it back down was the way to go.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we'll take Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Rodney, you know, after Denny crashes out, Gabe Hart's walking back to the garage, and some of your guys gave him a fist bump. And, you know, later Denny talked about how much he enjoys competing against you guys. And it sounded like stuff that, you know, Kyle and Adam Stevens have said in the past about competing against your group. They like racing against you guys. Where does that respect level come from? I'm sure there's teams out there in the past that you've raced against that you don't like. Why do people like competing against you with that respect level?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we try to treat people the right way. You know, we work together. You know, I think anybody would say that if we're working beside them in a garage, a close garage, we mind our own business and we try to do what's best for us, and then we get that same respect back. And we've always had that with a lot of guys here in the garage. But you know, my respect is mainly with Gabe Hart. You know, I've known Gabe Hart since 1995, racing go-karts, and, you know, his engine builder was my engine builder. We've had a lot of respect for each other over the years. And, you know, I've been waiting for this day for him to get his shot for a long time. You know, they kept pushing him around on these super late models and different things and the Xfinity series and all. And I knew all along if somebody would ever give him the chance and believe in him that he would do great things, and that's really what he's done. You know, I think Denny believes in him, and his guys believe in him, and they got a great group right now, just like we've got. And but overall, you know, it's all about team members. It's all about people, and we have a lot of good people, and they have a lot of good people. You know, half of his pit crew used to be on my pit crew before. Like at Evernham and different things, or some of them at Waltrip. So, you know, you treat people like you want to be treated. And I always tried to do that. And those guys remember that, and they treat us back the same way.
Thank you.
Next, we'll take a question from Nathan Brown. Go ahead, Nathan.
Rodney, you guys win here back-to-back years now. A lot of excitement and a lot of questions around this race and this race weekend. It changed up a little bit this year. What would you like to see? I know you guys weren't able to experience the whole thing with the Indy cars and the Xfinity cars this year, but what would you like to see IMS and Roger Penske do and continue to do with this big race weekend here in years to come?
Funny you brought up Roger. You know, earlier today, I was thinking to myself, I haven't missed the drivers' meetings at all any week. And then this week I missed the driver's meeting because I really wanted to hear RP get up there and speak. He's already made big changes here. You can go in the restrooms and different places throughout the garage. The floors are painted. The walls are painted. Everything is pristine. The little rollers that you wash your hands with that have been there for 25 years, all that stuff's gone. He's already made a huge impact, and he always will, you know, no matter if it's a racetrack, a race team, a car dealership, or what it is, he's going to make a huge impact. And, you know, like you said, I didn't get to be here yesterday and to see the IndyCar race. I didn't get to watch the IndyCar race. I did get to see some of the Xfinity race. And, you know, that looked like it went well. You know, when I don't think anybody knew how it was going to go. And it was a great race. Those guys put on a great show at the end of it. And honestly, I think it's a good mixture to have some road course racing on Saturday and have some oval racing on Sunday and give everybody a different perspective of what we do. And, you know, if you were to ask me if I wanted to road course race here, I don't. You know, I think the Brickyard 400 means way more to me than just making it into a road course. You know, could we have a road course race here and the Brickyard 400? Yeah, maybe one day. But, you know, the thing for me is the history of the Brickyard 400. You know, me sitting on the couch and watching certain people win this thing. And I was a fan like anybody else. You know, I cried when Jeff Gordon won the Brickyard 400. And I cried when Tony Stewart won it. So it is what it is. You know, we all want to be here. And that's really, you know, what it's about is the heart and the determination to get here one day and to win this race. And, you know, I just don't want to see the 400 change in any way.
Another one of those races where was passing was really big when you were able to find it. And I know Kevin had a couple of really key passes in this race when he was able to take advantage of those situations. What do you feel like led to him maybe finding some of those opportunities and taking advantage of it when it's really tough to come by here at this track?
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I think that's something that'll get brought up when you talk about this race is, you know, can you pass or can you not? You know, you have to make those moves on the restarts when everybody's jumbled up and you have to get your track position when you can, whether it's on pit road or on a restart. So, you know, he's done a great job at that stuff. I mean, you look back at last year and it almost took us a little while to start figuring out these restarts and how important they were and how aggressive you had to be. And he's shown that he can do it, you know, just like the rest of them. And today he made some bold moves that worked for us and was able to come out on top.
Great. Thanks, Rodney.
Next, we'll take a question from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, Rodney. I'm wondering, we saw tire failures today, you know, different organizations, different manufacturers. Was there one common denominator from your perspective of why these failures were happening?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just what we talked about with the racing. You know, from the last time we were here last year, there's been nothing raced on the oval, you know, since we were here. You know, normally every year when we get here, you have the Indy cars here for a month straight putting rubber down almost every single day. You have those guys running 500 miles in the Indy 500. You have the Xfinity cars on track and their practice and our practice and their qualifying, our qualifying. You didn't have any of that. And, you know, it takes a certain amount of time to put rubber down. And we knew – got a little noise in the background. We knew it was going to be hard on tires, and we kind of backed ours down a little bit to try to save the, you know, from a camber standpoint, we tried to back it down and to save our tires. And, you know, that just ended up working out for us. Not to say that was the right thing or the wrong thing, but we just tried to do our best and guess at it and hope that we did the right thing.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next, we'll take a question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Rodney, can you tell me what happened with the pitting a lap after Hamlin there with about 35, 40 laps to go? And did you feel like even with all those laps to go that might have cost you guys the race at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you know how things go. Things aren't ever going to go perfect. To win big races, you need them to go perfect. And that two-lap stint right there didn't go perfect. You know, getting into turn three, I called him the pit road. Well, at the same time, the spotter that's in turn three was talking on top of me, and Kevin never heard me. So there was some miscommunication there for about a half a lap on what we were doing. He couldn't hear me because us talking on top of each other. And then we came down pit road, and our pit crew has been absolutely incredible all year. And the front changer, his button switched on his gun during the middle of his pattern, and the rear guy, his button switched on his gun in the middle of the pattern. Which is odd. I feel like the guns have got a lot better and we haven't really had any issues, but just so happens on the money stop of the Brickyard 400, both buttons switched and didn't have a very good stop, and just a lot of things that didn't go our way in those couple laps.
Were you calling him in at that point because you were in the window, or were you calling him in because you heard that the 11 was going to come in? Were you responding, or were you trying to dictate and when you couldn't get that message through?
Yeah, with us being side by side, we were trying to play cat and mouse a little bit. Their team wasn't down, it wasn't up on the wall. Our team wasn't up on the wall. I really wanted to go another lap, but we could have made it from that standpoint on fuel. And, they were just going to try to push it a little bit harder than we did. I wanted to leave a lap for a green white checker if we had one. And, that part just didn't work out that great. But we tried to race each other all day, and that part just didn't work out for us.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we'll take our final question from Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
Rodney, congrats on the victory. I believe this was win number 30 for you and Kevin. I was curious what that milestone meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We've been able to do some special things together, and to win 30 races together in what, 6.5 years, 7 years, I don't even know what it is anymore. It's blown by, but 30 races is huge. And to have, I think for now I have 33 wins and 34 poles, it's pretty crazy. And two Brickyard 400s back to back, and he's got three of them. And we love racing together, but it's really about everybody else on the team. Everybody back at the shop that builds those great cars, our shop guys, our road crew, our pit crew, everybody's just firing on all cylinders right now. And it means a lot to win together, not just for me and Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ronnie, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on another win, another big win for your number 4 team. And safe travels home, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.